Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. There is an internal flame in each of us that can ignite the passions that drive us to accomplish our dreams and goals. Author, columnist, and life coach Debbie Phillips focuses on that flame in women with her organization, Women on Fire. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Hey, it's wonderful to be home and back here with you, Ann Fisher.
Well, we try to catch you whenever you're back in town. And also with us today is the national chair, the new national chair of Women on Fire, Jan Allen. Welcome to the show, Jan.
Thank you, Ann. It's great to be here.
If you want to talk about Women on Fire, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I guess to me the burning question is, let's talk about why a national chair.
I like the burning question.
Oh, me too.
Well, I'm actually the national chair of something called Each One, Reach One, Anne. And Debbie, the whole idea of Women on Fire is we provide inspiration, strategies, and support to dynamic women doing amazing things in the world. And our dream is that women live their dreams. So our dream is to connect 50,000 women across the country, starting with 5,000 women in Ohio, because we believe with support, women can do anything. And so Debbie and I are rejoining efforts. We've been best friends for 25 years. And like everyone else, when we provide support to each other, we do more, we are more, we can be more. And just imagine 50,000 women living their dreams, or 5,000 women in Ohio. What a welcoming state this could be for women.
Debbie, you founded Women on Fire, was it 3 years ago?
Actually, it was in 2003.
Oh, okay.
And it grew, the idea of Women on Fire grew from the idea. I was coaching very busy women, and women are, we shouldn't even have to say the word busy women, because if you just say woman, they're busy. And I felt it was really important for the women I was coaching. They felt really isolated. I wanted to begin to put them together. And we did that. And I chose the format originally was a tea party. And I started it in New York, even though I'm from Columbus. I started it in New York, and my clients came together, loved meeting each other, and then they invited their friends and their friends and their friends, and it's grown from there. And we do teas in Columbus, and we also have coaching groups in Columbus. And then, of course, Jan, who just so eloquently described what we're attempting to do nationally, and it's very inspiring.
You do teas all over the place.
We do them all over the place. I do them regularly in New York, and we do them regularly here in Columbus.
I was wondering, because of the nature of what you do with Women on Fire, whether there have been any thematic differences between 2003, when it started, when you started bringing women together and having these conversations with each other, and now, because of the economy.
Yeah. You know, it's actually interesting, because when we bring women together, there is an energy that gets created that actually supersedes what's going on in the economy. When women really listen to their heart, follow their passion, and they get the support, they're able to succeed. And so, honestly, you know, from 2003 until now, we've just seen tremendous growth, a tremendous number of women join us and just follow their path and really kind of ignore the economy. I mean, everyone in some way or another has been affected and hurt by it, but when you just make the determination that you're going to move forward and not be drugged down by the notion that you can't move forward because of the economy. So it has not even really been a theme. I mean, people will mention it once in a while, but when they're putting their attention on being successful, that's really been the key.
By the way, if you want to link to the website, it's womenonfire.org. We'll put that link on our website at wosu.org. /allsides, if you want to check it out. That's womenonfire.org. You know, I was wondering too, when you describe it and when I hear it, I know that people think, because of what I do, for instance, that I'm just kind of way out there. But I mean, what about people? I would think, if I didn't know you already, it would be intimidating to think about walking into one of these, a room filled with these dynamic women who just seem kind of too successful for words, not necessarily monetarily, but just are following their dreams. That can be intimidating to a lot of people, can it?
I want to take that only because one of the reasons of founding Women on Fire is the idea that this is for any women, any woman, and it's for any age. And we actually have women. We just the other day got a seven-year-old who's claiming, I am a woman on fire because I love camp, I love school. And that's so delightful. So we have actually age 7 to age 88 in our organization. And part of what I think makes Women on Fire so magic is that there's a warmth and an acceptance because there is no division. Every single woman who has a dream or a passion, and this isn't just exclusively women. I mean, it's men too, but we've just decided, Jan and I know there's 6.5 billion people in the world, and we've just chosen to focus on half of them, and they're women. But we know that women, I have never yet, Anne, met a woman that doesn't have a spark in there somewhere. She can be burned out, but with a little bit of nurturing, she can find her spark. And so, yes, to an outsider, but all one needs to do is come to an event or become or join the Spark, which is our free weekly newsletter. And there's a warmth in there that only women who would love to accept other women and be honoring of them attend. So it isn't intimidating when you walk in the room. It is not, because you're embraced for your goodness and your talent.
That's Debbie Phillips. She's the founder of Women on Fire, and also with us, Jan Allen, National Chair of...
Each One, Reach One.
Each One, Reach One. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call and talk with Jan or Debbie about Women on Fire and about the idea that we can get together and ignite those flames that push us forward in our own dreams and our own goals. There's something that you've been talking about lately, the idea of people being overwhelmed, yeah, and women overwhelmed in particular, and that you and Jan are both life coaches, and how do you even get to that? Because some people say, well, I just have to be this busy because I have to. I don't do it because I choose to be like this. It's right. What I have to do just to keep my head above water.
Right. Well, and certainly Jan can talk about this as well, but I use, because I get overwhelmed. I have a lot going on in my life, and obviously the women in my world have a lot going on in their lives, and it's very easy to get overwhelmed. And honestly, I just have a lot of little tricks and strategies, and one trick I have is called stop, and it's sit down, take a big deep breath, organize what's really important, and proceed with calm. And as crazy as that sounds, when I start running behind, even if I look at my watch and I'm 5 minutes behind, I just say, sit down, just sit down. Because in that 30 seconds, 60 seconds, I can start to turn things around. But that's just one little strategy. And I think it's important for every one of us to have in our toolbox strategies that work for the times that we're overwhelmed. It's important to recognize when we are overwhelmed rather than just keep plowing forward. And Jan, I would throw this to you because, you know, we've had many conversations.
Oh, yes.
Well, there was a couple of years when you didn't go out for lunch, if I remember correctly.
Four of them. That's right. And Debbie's absolutely right about having a lot of tools in the toolkit. I also think sort of the question we ask ourselves about it's really important, because a lot of people will say, how can I have balance in my life? And I think that that question is sort of set up to make us beat up on ourselves, mm-hmm, in some ways, because let's face it, we don't have balance. I don't even actually want balance. I want the things I want. And so the question I ask is, what's the quality of my energy? So rather than looking at, you know, what can I take out, although we should systematize as many things as possible and just make them habits, and that makes it more easy. But if I ask what's the quality of my energy, and then I'm looking at how can I increase my capacity. And everybody gets energy differently. So, you know, if I need it, I talked to a busy working mother yesterday who has 3 small children, works at a location out of town. And I said, oh, that must be really difficult that you're working in this location out of town. She goes, actually, it's my dirty little secret. It's my, it's my, you know, 35 minutes alone, and I listen to books on tape, and that renews me and allows her, you know, increases her capacity to be both a mom and a professional.
That's great.
I think we also brought Anna a little present for overwhelm in case she ever, not that she would ever feel that.
More but, graft.
So, yeah. Oh. Look. So here's another. This is what we do. So you put this in the fridge.
And this is a,
describe it.
What is it? For our radio listeners.
And you just, this is a little gel mask. They're $2.99 at the local drugstore. And you put it in the freezer, and it's hysterical because in our freezer at home, I have like 4 or 5 of these plus little boo-boo buddies in the freezer. And then you just take this out for like just a minute, and we have one for you. You get your own.
It's one of the things women are, thank you so much. One of the things women are not good at is doing these little $2.99 things.
Yeah.
Why is that? I actually have a gift certificate to a fancy salon that I've had for about a year and a half. I sit on these things. Mm-hmm. I imagine and fantasize, what will I spend this gift certificate on? And then next thing I know, I'm calling them up the day before it's due to expire and trying to cut a deal with them.
Well, we're so busy taking care of everybody else. And that you just said it. It really is putting it into your schedule. And both Jan and I, as coaches, when we've worked with women, we urge them. They have to add to their schedule their time. I love that story about the woman listening to books on tape. And even I have women in my practice over the years who would get up 20 minutes early just to do a yoga tape, and it made a huge difference in their lives. And even though it feels like, oh, I don't think I could possibly do that, whatever you add that gives you self-care is going to make a huge difference, even just 5 minutes.
And what it's sort of at the deeper level of belief too. I mean, we are givers and we want to be givers, and I think we think if we take any time for ourselves, we're not then doing what we need to do for others. So I like to, with my coaching clients, reframe it. If you invest more in yourself, you have more to give. And so when they hear that, it's sort of like, okay, then it's okay for me to use the gift certificate at the spa because I'm going to be, twice as able to be with my son or my husband or do my work.
It's kind of like the lottery ticket, though, too. I don't actually buy lottery tickets myself, but every once in a while I do when I'm on vacation or something. And the fantasy of just imagining what would I do if I won the lottery, that's kind of like the gift certificate. It's like, what am I going to spend it on when I go? We'll return to our conversation with Debbie Phillips, founder of Women on Fire, and Jan Allen, national chair of Each One, Reach One. When we return, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Revolt roiled Saudi Arabia's southern neighbor, Yemen, and the king sent troops to help put down protests to the east in Bahrain.
Saudi Arabia is really in a very difficult position, and that's something that I think is keeping a number of the princes and King Abdullah up late at night.
I'm Neil Conan, Saudi Arabia, the U.S., oil, and the Arab Spring. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation begins later today from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher. 87 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today and a high reaching 91. There is a chance of a pop-up shower this afternoon, too. Partly cloudy tonight and a low of 69 degrees. Sunshine for Wednesday, another warm day, a high of 93. Partly cloudy Wednesday night, a low of 70 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking with Debbie Phillips, founder of Women on Fire. I have your book in front of me. It's Women on Fire, 20 Inspiring Women Share Their Life Secrets and Save You Years of Struggle. It's no surprise that several of the women in the book are from the Columbus area because that's where Debbie is from. And also with us, Jan Allen, national chair of Each One, Reach One. It's kind of an offshoot of Women on Fire. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to womenonfire.org and check out that link. You can go to WOSU.org/allsides, and we'll have that link there right ready, willing, and able for you to click on. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org if you want to talk with Debbie or Jan. Please do. You can also go on to Facebook and post your question or comment there. I wanted to talk about a difficult issue, a difficult conversation or a difficult situation that a lot of women have been facing, and it irks a lot of women, and they're struggling. And I know that you probably felt special compassion for Maria Shriver when Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, when it came out that he had had a child 14 years ago, and with a member of their household staff. And she does the conference that you went to this past year, the Women's Conference, or Conference on Women, I can't remember now. And I just wonder, you know, we keep hearing these stories about politicians and their wives standing by them, you know, while they're in office, and then things kind of break down afterward. Elizabeth, of course, Edwards is another classic example, but she didn't. She walked away.
Sure. Well, I just say in general, and I don't actually know Maria personally. I have met her. But the one thing I do know about Maria that actually makes me feel really good, I know she has a tremendous support system around her. I saw it when I was at the women's conference. People, you know, she really does have everybody from Oprah to Gayle King to Martha Beck is really a close friend. And actually, you probably saw in some of the pictures immediately after this new story broke, Martha was with her, and she's a very well-known, famous life coach. I do know she has a lot of support. She has a lot of family support, too. And so I think, my only comment, my heart aches for any woman that has to go through something publicly. Jan and I both have lived certainly at least on the periphery of people in the public life. We've, you know, worked for governors, and we know the pain that can get caused to their families. I feel sad, but I feel heartened because I know she has support, and any woman that has support going through anything. And I predict to you, Maria is going to come back and do something really, truly amazing, because she is really special. She is a really dynamic woman.
Do you know if the women's conference is going to end?
Well, the women's conference, and what Maria was thinking about doing, because she's no longer the first lady,
right,
and that was actually a California state, that's a California state conference. I believe it is still going on under the new governor, but I believe Maria, now, of course, with what's happened to her now, what she talked about after the conference, those of us who were on her mailing list, she was considering starting her own conference. So that's what I mean. I know I just really believe with this woman, and once she heals, she will be back, and she'll do something really spectacular. I actually did just get a notice the other day. She's her brother has a program called Best Buddies, and it's a mentoring program for children who are developmentally disabled or other, whatever mm-hmm. it is said mm-hmm. now about how. But I noticed she's moving forward and supporting that, and so, you know, she's not down for the count, but it's just very sad to see somebody have to go through that.
You know, speaking of mentoring programs, the Women's Fund, I moderated a discussion last winter about some research that they had done about, not necessarily about mentoring, but they just wanted to look at young women mm-hmm. in the community and find out what do they need. And interestingly, it wasn't the idea of mentoring that they were interested in. They wanted to be part of the solution. They wanted to be in on the discussion. And I just wanted your thoughts about that. And I know that I'm going to be joining you tomorrow in a discussion with some young women from Ohio State. But can you talk about the idea that young women, at least this generation of young women, is not particularly interested in, you know, mentors? What's the difference?
Well, I think part of you're right. Everyone wants a seat at the table, and they all should have a seat at the table, because if they don't, we're missing out on tremendous talent and treasure. And the group we're bringing together tomorrow of both young women from Ohio State and older women in the community, like Ann and Debbie and me and others, is really meant to benefit all in the room, because what we do bring as older women is experience and wisdom and that sort of thing. What many younger women bring is tremendous energy, talent in new arenas, all kind of great ideas. And to me, the age differences, you know, kind of fade away in that kind of experience. And it's just a collective that has much more vibrancy than if you have any one age cohort alone. And so one of the things we really emphasize in Women on Fire is the all ages aspect of it, because while we may have a real interest in the age we're living, or, you know, for another reason, a certain age cohort. We're just so much more if we seed these ideas and the support with each other. And so, you know, but I do, let's face it, technology has really changed, I think, how we see younger generations as well. They're teaching us, you know, not the other way around. And I think it's a shift, you know, from when I was in my 20s anyway. And I did seek mentors and seek to learn from people who had walked the path before me. And I don't think that's different. I think women, you know, the young women coming tomorrow specifically, you know, there's a young woman interested in being a broadcast journalist. And I think that they do love, you know, talking to people who've already walked that path. But we'll learn as much from her, you know, as she'll learn from any of us.
Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of discussion. They're just, it's a different generation. And part of that comes out in the fact that they want to be at the table.
And the Women's Fund does a great job with that. The Women's Fund is a foundation that provides grants to organizations doing programs for women and girls. And their grant-making process includes women and girls in the grant reading and decision-making process.
614-292-8513. That's the number to call if you want to talk with our guest, Debbie Phillips, founder of Women on Fire. Also, Jen Allen, the national chair of Each One, Reach One. You can go online to WOSU.org/allsides and learn more about that. So what are you actually going to do in this conversation tomorrow? I ask this selfishly and also, you know, just generally. It's a new idea.
Well, it's actually an old idea,
okay,
that we're putting a new twist on. We're going to give the women in the room the Women on Fire experience. And what the Women on Fire experience is simply for women to share what they're on fire about or not, because we're not always on fire. And sometimes we're just simmering. Sometimes we're burned out. But the idea will be for women to share what they're on fire about and what they need, if they need help or support. Because I will say one of the biggest themes is women, we have a very difficult time asking for help. And what's so magical is when we do ask for help, it's amazing the people and the angels around us that are really standing right there to offer assistance. And nobody can do their dream on their own. They just can't. It's impossible to have much of a dream on your own. And so that's another thing that we encourage. And so tomorrow will be a little taste of that experience. And I do want to just say to anyone who is feeling really burned out or tired or just like, I don't know where my spark is, there have been so many wonderful things that have happened with women who just sat at the table, as it will happen tomorrow, and just said that and allowed themselves to, and I'll just give you one very quick example. There was a woman who came to one of our events, and she was burned out, but listening to the other women's enthusiasm about what they were on fire about led her to take a sabbatical in France. And from that, she started the Girl's Guide to Paris, which is one of a very popular site now, girlsguidetoparis.com and on Facebook. She now leads women's tours in France. So she followed her dream, but it grew from being burned out and being able to say it in a supportive group of women. Donnie Pilo, Girl's Guide to Paris.
Terry and Powell, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
I actually, that was a great lead into what I was going to ask. I wanted to know, for somebody who, let's say, has a degree in something that they really don't want to work in anymore, what are the steps you would recommend for somebody who wants to start down this path?
Terry, are you currently working a full-time job or a...
No,
okay.
No, actually not at all. Okay. And I think that is probably, you probably have several listeners, and I know that I find this through, you know, working in the PTO and stuff like that. There are so many moms that mm-hmm. had very successful careers, mm-hmm. jobs, raised their kids, and want something, I guess, of meaning at this point in time. And it's not necessarily what they did before.
Right.
So
right.
What steps, incrementally, baby steps, would you recommend for somebody who's wants to start down that path.
Well, you said it, because that's perfect. You want to just think about the incremental steps, and it really starts from taking, there's a lot of different ways, Terry, that you can go down your path, but one way is to take stock on what it is you really love to do. And we always ask the question at Women on Fire, what's the love I have to give to the world before I die? Now, that sounds pretty dramatic, but if you use that question and you begin to even make a list of some of the things that you want to give to the world, that's one way to do it. But
that's a question to post on your bathroom mirror every morning. That's great.
We love you, Terry. You're such a woman on fire. That is a great, that's a great question. And Jan Allen is with me, and you know, she's a coach too. And would you add to the steps?
Well, Terry, first of all, I can just say I can relate. I'm by training a lawyer and a social worker and a political science undergrad, and you notice I'm not using any of those degrees right now.
Exactly.
You know, although we all use all of that education and experience in everything that we do. And one of the things I love about what Debbie's created with Women on Fire, and hopefully the way we've both done our coaching practices, is that we highly value whatever it is you love. So one of Debbie's favorite clients, when it finally came down to what she loved toiletries. And you know, some might think, oh, that's frivolous, that's this, how could you do anything with that? And that recognition alone unleashed her. She both works in the fashion industry and sort of lives the dream on her on the side of image and style consulting for women, and she really helps women build self-confidence through their style and that sort of thing. It can be anything. It just needs to be you. And I think when we align with that, you know, then things spark. The other thing I like is the incremental step idea. Everything begins with knowing what we want. If you can just listen to that inner voice or pay attention to where you go in the bookstore, you know, what draws your interest, and then just say, what is the smallest next step I can take to pursue that interest, just as you probably do with your children. When you see your kids have an interest, then you start helping them take the next step and the next. We can do that for ourselves.
Somewhere along the line, though, and I don't know, Terry, if you'd agree, but it seems like that's kind of pounded out of us, a lot of us.
I remember
a young woman in college that I met years and years ago, and it actually made me sad because I always knew I wanted to be a journalist. I was one of those freaks of nature. But but she knew she wanted to be a teacher. And her family wouldn't let her because they didn't think, shockingly, that it was good enough, and she had to go into accounting. And I remember, I didn't really know her that well, but she was so sad. Mm-hmm. And I bet you any money she's gone back and is a teacher now. She went through all the rigmarole and then ended up doing it. Do you find that a lot?
We find that a lot. And in fact, the other thing I would say to you, Terry, is you can think back to what did you love when you were 12, 13, 14, even younger. Mm-hmm. There's a woman in Columbus that we're so proud of. She's a woman on fire. Her name's Jessica Firm. She is a coach and a corporate consultant, but she just discovered a long-time passion. She revived a long-time passion to dance. She went back into ballroom dancing only in the last year or two. She's an amazing dancer, and she just combined coaching and a book that has just been published. And so that's another way. I mean, I don't know how old she is. She's probably in her 30s. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she tapped back into something she loved as a young woman and a girl, dancing, and revived it in her 30s has brought her so much joy.
Terry, this is Jan. Are you willing to say anything that you love?
Oh, gosh, I wonder how many people I know are listening.
Only if it feels right to you.
No, actually, I have, without getting too specific, I have a very difficult to attain, and I'm proud that I have it, technical degree.
Uh-huh.
And I think that we automatically channel kids that have certain test scores to law, medicine, and engineering, without saying. And so, and I can see a lot of my classmates and stuff that wasn't necessarily our best fit. Mm-hmm. But since not everybody can do it, you know, you get channeled into it. But I was asked the question my senior year when I was interviewing for an award, what do you want to do with this? And I said, I think I want to go into sales. And everybody laughed, and they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, we can see that. So I love to be with people, and I love interactions. And mm-hmm. so, and you will see me at one of your conferences.
That's wonderful. Yay!
I think
that's
what
wonderful.
You guys do is fantastic, and thank this you. Has been a great program today.
Thank you.
So thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Terry.
And Terry, you remind me of what, this is Jan, what, one of my greatest life lessons, if not the greatest, is that just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. If you are at all talented, diligent, hardworking, you will get pulled in a lot of directions. In Anne's profession, you know, as a reporter, a lot of people get pushed into being an editor, and that's thought of as the better thing. It's not the better thing if it's not you, or teachers get pushed into being principals or whatever. Some folks want to do that, and that's great. Others don't. And so I've learned over the course of life to ask, just because I can do this, should I? Mm-hmm. You know, and it, the answer is only yes if it's yes with, from that little voice inside.
Thanks again, Terry. You know, you said something kind of interesting when you said, I think I can know if it was Jan or Debbie now, but
I know we're kind of
to try to figure out because
it's difficult
for a lot of people to wrap their brains around what do I really want to do when
right,
I grow
yes,
up that
right,
kind of
right.
the proverbial thing what is my passion there mm-hmm. you know you ask kids today what do you want to do mm-hmm. they don't know what they really love to do anymore they're doing possibly because they're doing so much but you said something interesting about when you walk into the bookstore was that you Jan mm-hmm. you know where do you go
right. yeah, that's one
Are
of the
there
clues.
Other things that people like that people could clue into a little bit?
You know, we actually do an exercise that is really valuable, and that is to have the people in your life, and it can be family members that are really that have your that you believe have your best interests at heart, and friends and colleagues, do an exercise where they tell you, what do you see as my gifts, strengths, and talents? And it's really a magical exercise, and we always recommend that you do it with at least a dozen people, and if you want to have 40 people, that's fantastic. And feed that information back to you, because people see you in a way that we just can't sometimes see ourselves, but we know whether we resonate with it. And there's lots of stories in both of our coaching practices of people doing that and then getting really clear. We have one man that I coached early on, and he was a lawyer, but he really knew a lot about the theater. And once he got the feedback from all of his family and friends that he should be doing something in the theater, he became a theater investor. And the rest is history, because one of his early investments and producing credits was Wicked. And he's been doing pretty well since.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so isn't that amazing? And he was at retirement age, and he was, you know, really kind of, he was really not knowing what he was going to do, and he was very troubled by
it. And now he's
it.
All started on
oh,
something
my gosh.
New.
Oh, yeah, and he's doing all kinds of theater stuff now, and it's just, it's really inspiring.
Well, the other thing I think that happens too, Anne, is that we might know what we want for a split second, and then it happens so fast we don't know it's happening. We don't know how to do that. And so we obliterate it, or we think someone else in our lives wouldn't think we should do that or whatever. And so when I say, what do you love, people, well, I don't know. But I usually find with just a few questions, it's the same as asking, are you hungry or do you have a headache? If you're willing to know, you know, you will know. And if you can sort of back up from the shoulds or the I don't know hows or whatever, or how am I going to make that money out of that, you don't have to ask that question first. You know, no. Just ask, what is it that draws my interest and my passion? And pay attention during the day. I'm energetic when I'm thinking or doing this. I'm not energetic when I'm thinking or doing that. It's really kind of that simple.
I'm energized right now. lucky me. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
After abruptly departing MSNBC in January, Keith Olbermann returns to broadcasting later this month with a new version of Countdown on the current TV network. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Keith Olbermann about why he left MSNBC and about his plans for the new show. Join us.
Fresh air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon. This is 89.7 NPR News. There are many ways to get the latest local news. Follow WOSU News on Twitter or like WOSU on Facebook. Get headlines delivered to your email by subscribing to our Daily News Loop e-newsletter at WOSU.org/email. After the upheavals of the economic downturn, Susie Orman's Money Class creates a new American dream. Watch as Susie offers new insights on traditional financial strategies. Watch Susie Orman Money Class. It's tonight at 8 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 comes from Thurber House, kicking off the 2011 Literary Picnic Series with its annual Thurber House Treat Contest, June 8th, inviting writers to try their hand at a Thurber-related theme. More details at thurberhouse.org.
87 degrees currently, and sunshine today, a high of 91. A slight chance of showers this afternoon as well, partly cloudy tonight, a low of 69 degrees, sunshine Wednesday, and a high of 93. All Science continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're talking about women and their passions. It could be anybody, though. I think a lot of what we're talking about could apply to anybody. It's not gender based, but Debbie Phillips happens to be founder of Women on Fire, and Jane Allen is national chair of Each One Reach One, an arm of Women on Fire. So it is kind of women based, but this should not be relegated to a gender category, really. We were talking about sometimes people can find where they're going or where they want to go through adversity.
Right.
So something, you know, I think Terry, she chose to stay home, and that was a wonderful thing. Yeah. It wasn't, didn't sound like it was an adversity issue, but yeah. For some people that can be.
Well, it's one of the reasons we love our work so much at Women on Fire, because we meet all kinds of women, and they have a dream. And, for instance, I even brought something that there was a woman named Cheryl Bassett who, through financial adversity, discovered that she ended up in 8 dinners at home with her children, and she created a placemat and it's so great. It's all these little, it's called our family meeting, and the placemat has like where everybody writes their high and low and their expenses for the day and a 30-year commitment and wishes and dreams. And she turned this into a business called KitchenTableConversations.com. And it came through adversity because they were financially struggling and didn't have money and felt like they needed to really clue their kids in. And their family got stronger because of this happened. And she launched a business, and she's right here in Columbus. So, you know, I marvel at the stories that you can find your passion and your business through adversity.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. So there's been a change in your life, and you want to talk about it and talk about maybe how adversity has directed you in a direction, in a place that you weren't expecting, give us a call and tell us about it. 614-292-8513. How many people have you seen now through Women on Fire?
You know what? We don't know. I mean, I think at this point
it's not like
now,
the how many Whoppers sold sign there's some of it.
A billion. We've served a billion. We just know that our dream and goal is to have our current dream and goal is to connect 50,000 women. We were thinking roughly, you know, 1,000 women in each state. What we do know is that hundreds are out there, hundreds and hundreds, and they're in different parts of the country. We obviously have a great group going in Columbus because of, you know, Jan's work here and this being my hometown. Mm-hmm. We have pockets all over the country, and that we're connected through Facebook and through all the Women on Fire events. We're actually starting a national tour, and Columbus is going to be the first stop on September 30th. We're going to have a Women on Fire Day. So it's for women to come and just explore their passion or just be with other phenomenal women who are, you know, thinking about what they want to, you know, how they want to contribute to the world.
Sometimes you mentioned don't think about the money. There's that idea that if you're doing what you really want to do, you're probably going to be better at it. And the money follows.
Right.
It's kind of hard for some people to accept that.
Well, and I'm flat out practical, too, because this is that can sound la-la land, you know, to a lot of people. And, you know, I often say that having what you want, living your dream, will mean you living up to whatever it requires. And so for a lot of folks, maybe they're bridging to something new. Maybe they're working two jobs while hopefully if they can, you know, in this economy, but while bridging to their dreams. So it's not just sitting on a couch doing nothing and saying, if I love this, everything will happen. It is paying attention to what's the next step and the next and the next. And I know when I was transitioning to coaching from another business, you know, I was working flat out in my other business and almost feeling the pain of wanting to really be coaching because that's who I was then. But, you know, financially, I had to pay attention. So, you know, it's I think when we are aligned, many more things, you know, come our way. But we have to be practical, too.
Well, I certainly agree with that. And I also believe that sometimes really following a passion doesn't even have to be about money.
Right.
And there's a lot of women and women on fire. There's a phenomenal woman named Connie Hyatt who has a job that she loves, and she goes about her business doing the job. But on the side, she has some tremendous projects. She has the Women's Respite Program, in which she funnels her passion and her dream into this it's women of low income here in Columbus. Every year, she organizes a weekend retreat where these women get massages and manicures and great big goodie bags. And this, I mean, Jan and I saw Connie Hyatt last night, and we were just overwhelmed by, you know, her love of this is her passion, and it's not about money, but she's deeply fulfilled. And so there's so many ways to express your dream, and what she's doing for these women is phenomenal.
Yeah, I was thinking, Anne, you had a show recently with when it was the Southern Ohio Bicycle Tour, you know, Tozer.
Oh, yeah,
I always forget what Tozer stands for.
Tour of the Scioto River Valley.
As you know, I was born in the Scioto River Valley and grew up there. But, you know, I was struck by the gentleman on your show saying, well, a couple of people came together, you know, because they like to bike ride. And it's now grown 50 years later into this. You know, that it's just amazing what we are social animals, and it is amazing what can happen when people come together.
Gloria in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I would just like to add a little comment to your conversation today, and I think it's really a nice conversation. I have been relocated due to a family member's illness, and it wasn't something that I was looking at doing, but I'm here, and I said, okay, what am I going to do now that I'm here? So I decided that I would take Irish Celtic dancing. I am African American, and I am providing a lot of comic relief because I'm really not knowing what the heck these people are telling me to do.
I love it.
But I have decided that I am going to master this because it's something challenging, it's something new, and the people have embraced me, and I love it. I'm a singer-songwriter, and so I am now looking to release my first CD, and I'm 50-plus.
Wow!
Gloria, what, all right, you know, I got to ask, what, where, how? I mean, did you just like to go to Riverdance, and you just liked watching it? Or?
Well, the thing is that I never had an opportunity to go to Riverdance. I've always wanted to, but something always came up, and I never went like to go or could go. But being a musician, I love Celtic music. So there was a festival that I went to that was going to help the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, and it was an all-Irish festival. And somewhere down the line in my roots, there's some Irish blood. And I traced that back. So I thought, well, maybe that's why I like this music so much. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. This is another thing I'm going to do to expand my social network here in a town that I never lived in. And I said, you know, yeah, I can either be here and bloom or wilt.
Love it.
Great
so
way to put it, Gloria.
I decided that I would just bloom. And I'm enjoying it. And like I said, getting ready to release a CD finally. Raised three children, and now it's my turn.
Wow.
And I love it. And I want to say to all the people listening, my favorite quote was from Winston Churchill when he addressed a college graduation class, I think at Cambridge. And he just said, five words, never, never, never give up.
Yeah.
And I live by that.
Good for you.
So age is nothing. Just keep on trying to, and never tell anybody, find something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
because a lot of mothers will do that if their children want to do something, especially in the arts. Me being a singer, I was told that. And that can be very damaging.
Yep.
So you just keep promoting whatever that is that child wants to do.
Well, so, what a role model you are, Gloria, and thanks for that great share
on all
levels. And I do love the, you know, I could bloom or I could wilt, because a lot of this is about attitude. And
it is.
We can spend our time in negative self-talk, or we can spend our time, you know, creating what we want. But that takes some rigor and some vigor and some belief in ourselves. So thank you for that story.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you very much. And if you post on Facebook, you can share with us when your CD comes out on the Outside Stand Fisher Facebook page. You know, she's brought up something that kind of struck me. That, you know, she says, I know there's some Irish, and she'd done the research, there's some Irish in her. And that kind of made me visualize the idea that there's a lot of different stuff in each of us, right? I mean, maybe your dream was to do something at one point in your life, and it changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
That happens.
Oh, I think that different parts of us come
to the
fore.
You're a good example of that.
Yeah, I am. I mean, Ann and I have known each other for a long time, and she's known me through my 30 career. You know, and Debbie and I actually don't like the term reinvention, because it's not so much that as including and transcending and building on all of the experiences that we have. But I didn't make a conscious decision early on about this, but David Brooks calls it the summoned self. And, you know, we can either sort of try to plan our lives, although good luck with that, or we can say, I live in this time, in this space, with these circumstances, in this community, with these needs. What is it summoning me to do? And I like to think that's how I've lived my life. Others might look at it and say, why are you changing what you do every 5 years?
I love Gloria as an example, because she was just doing what was in front of her that she loved. And I think if Terry or any of the, you know, who had asked for steps, Gloria is really a great example of that. She just took one step forward towards something she really loves, and then it becomes something. So always that measurement of, do I really love this? Am I getting energy from this? Do I enjoy this? Am I contributing? I love that she had an – I find that a lot, and we find this a lot with women now. We want to – not only do we want to do something amazing, but we want it to contribute to society in some way.
And in Gloria's case, she's the comic relief, she said.
Yeah. And, and you know, it's benefiting Mid-Ohio Food Bank.
Right.
And, you know, women, we love that.
We have just a few minutes left. If you want to get a call in, we still have time. My guests are Debbie Phillips, founder of Women on Fire, and the national chair of Each One, Reach One, a part of Women on Fire, Jan Allen, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And don't forget, Gloria, to go on to the Facebook page and let us know when your CD comes out. So what you're going to do, start a national tour. Tell me a little bit about what that's going to be.
Well, we know women are so busy. So we've designed Women on Fire in a way that women can join us at whatever level and in whatever way they need. So, for instance, everybody is welcome to join the Spark, which is free, and it's the weekly newsletter.
And that's womenonfire.org,
yeah,
right?
womenonfire.org. There's a little sign up for the free weekly Spark. So that's one way. Then you can get a taste and test, you know, is this something that's interesting to me? And then from there, we have a variety of events, including a CD membership, so people can join and listen once a month to a CD. And our national tour is going to be day-long events. Now, we have done them before. We've had different formats of retreats. But we found, because women are so busy, if they know far enough in advance to just be able to take a day of retreat for themselves, to be energized, to be inspired. And the first one of that official Women on Fire Day is starting in Columbus, September 30th at Franklin Park Conservatory. So, and then we have more intense programs. We actually are going to take a group of women to Paris and work, I know, isn't that fun?
Wow.
Next year. Yeah, it's going to be called Women on Fire Vision Day, and we're going to Paris, and we'll spend a week, and women will work on their, whatever their dream is in the morning with me, and then in the afternoon they'll play in Paris with a tour with Donny Bilo, the woman who started Girls Guide to Paris.
Lisa and Powell, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Lisa?
Yes, Lisa, hi.
Oh, hello. This program has been so amazing. I volunteer to go to Paris. I hear women talking about women being on fire. Really quickly, when you think about what my passion was, it was always to help people. Mm-hmm. And I became a nurse with a master's, always intending to teach. I got recruited by a national pharmaceutical company. When I joined, I worked for a woman. It was a great job. I currently work for a man. I'm very good at what I do. I'm outgoing. People, my customers love me, but my manager is intimidated by me because I'm just not trying to be all that, but I am. And it ruins my life. And I have 2 years till I'm 55, and I've got a life coach, a psychologist, and he's like, Pam, the day you turn 55, get the heck out of there. And so any strategies or things that you guys could offer to somebody in my position, because there's no other, you know, in this economy, I can't just slot over to a new person and all that kind of, there's no good options for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there any way you can make, it sounds to me, it's Pam, right?
Lisa,
I'm sorry. Lisa, is there any way you can make this job more perfect? Are there other allies in your working environment that you can join forces with? I'm just curious.
Well, to be honest, I did reach out to a female manager who's, and I love mentors, so these people that don't form mentors, but, so she was trying to coach me through, and she pinpointed something, and Oprah used this a lot on our last show about how we all need validation.
Right.
And, you know, it's a personal problem. But I think a lot of women can find themselves in this because, you know, you're in a man's world sometimes, and when you're really good at something, you can be very intimidating to the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects my whole team that I'm on, because if you don't have respect at that first level, it affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know.
Well, I also want to applaud you for working with a coach. And I know we're not going to solve this in this short time, but I would encourage you and maybe there are some really serious financial constraints. You sound very talented and that you have a really good career. And I would hate to see you have to spend the next couple of years in this situation if you really feel it can't be changed. So I'd also just invite you to think about what else it is you could do in these couple of years if you think that this situation is really unsolvable. Because to live 2 years of your precious life under circumstances that are just, you know, unhealthy for you, I really wouldn't advise.
Lisa and Powell, will be you know, keeping our fingers crossed and trying to send you some positive energy there. Hang in there. I want to thank my guests.
Thank you.
Debbie Phillips, founder of Women on Fire, and Jen Allen, national chair of Each One, Reach One. Thanks for joining us, Debbie.
So wonderful. I love being here.
And Jan, thanks for
wonderful.
Joining the show.
Thank you,
I think
Ann.
It's your first time on the show.
I think it is.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, too, to everybody out there. And thanks for those great calls. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 89.7. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1. And WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.